Influence doesn't go away, and he has been a good influence in my life, honestly. We've been good friends. Also, Brother David Beal's here tonight. Got to go to college with him, and from Prairie Baptist, and they have a great church there. Good to have all of you tonight. Thank you for being here. Good to be back at Loomis Park. I love the youth group here. Got to be with you guys a little bit this summer, and then good to meet Brother Haglund. Brother Haglund, when I was 16 or 17, man, I called him because he had a radio show. And I thought it'd be cool to have a radio show, and so I was calling him for advice. You know, he's probably like, "Who is this kid?" You know, but finally got to meet him, and so good to meet him tonight, and good to see the ladies from Grace again singing. They were at our church this past year, and everything's been great tonight. How many of you guys enjoyed those tacos? Oh, nice, very honest. I appreciate that. Put your hands down, okay? They were good. They were good, but you should never eat tacos right before you talk a lot. So if I burp. Or worse, then it's not my fault. I apologize. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 tonight, all right? Good to be here tonight. Thank you for coming. Nope. On the piano. Luke chapter 9. And we are going to read verse 23 through 26. Verse 23 through 26 tonight. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 26. If you're there, say, hallelujah. Good. Let's all stand up real quick. Let's stand, stretch our legs. I'm going to ask you to read out loud with me, so everybody stay with me. Here we go. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let's read all verses from 23 through 26 out loud together. Ready? Begin. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon the scripture reading tonight and the wonderful crowd we've got here. Thank you for everyone who turned up tonight, came out to hear the singing, the preaching, and be part of the program. Lord, I pray now as we get to the preaching that you would arrest our attention, help us to think about the words of scripture, help us to think about the message that you have for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I preach, be with Brother Haglund as he preaches in just a few moments, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon all these young people. Lord, thank you for the youth pastors and the bus drivers and the volunteer youth workers who came out tonight to make this possible, Lord. I pray it would not be in vain just because someone doesn't want to pay attention or someone wants to cause some trouble. Lord, may that not be the case tonight. May we just have a heart for you and a heart to hear from you. And Lord, may we give our attention to you at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, here's the thing. I love the fall season. It's one of my favorite seasons for a couple reasons. How many of you guys are going hunting tomorrow? You raised your hand earlier. Good. A lot of you guys are going hunting tomorrow. I love to hunt. But I love fall as well for another reason, because fall is when all the sports come back on. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys are sports fans tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, let's try this. How many of you are Tigers fans? Detroit Tigers? Anybody? All right, put your hands down. The Lord will forgive that eventually in the millennium. And then how many of you are Lions fans? Anybody else? All right, good. So you guys expected to be a little more excited than that for some reason. How many of you like someone else? And you're just, okay, good, good. I'm with you. I'm not a Tigers fan. I'm not a Lions fan. But I love sports. I love anything competitive. Anything competitive. When Pastor Donald and I were roommates, he went to someplace and won a little game, and it was literally a boot that you slip on your finger, and you played a game called, get this, this is one of the most intelligent, one of the most intense games you'll ever hear of, because you probably haven't heard about it. It's called finger soccer. Finger soccer. And you're sitting here thinking, you know, well, what could be great about finger soccer? Oh, I don't know. What could be great about peanut butter and jelly? I mean, come on. It's incredible. Do I have to explain it tonight? Finger soccer, man. We'd sit across the room and try to flick the soccer ball into these little miniature goals. And it's a stupid game. It's a ridiculous game. But we would get so competitive about it. I punched Brother Donald in the face one time. We were so ticked. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. I mean, we got into it. And I know some of you guys are the same way, man, just competitive. And here's the thing. I just asked that question because I wanted to see how many fans we had in the room tonight. How many sports fans we had in the room tonight. Did you know in the Bible that Jesus, in the Gospels, and even still today, Jesus had a lot of fans? Spirituality, Christianity, youth group, Sunday school, church, that's still a pretty popular thing to be a part of in this day and age. You won't believe that by looking at some people, but it's actually pretty popular. In our town, I go out and I invite people to church, and it's not uncommon for me to hear, I go to this church, I go to that church, I go over here, I go there. I mean, everybody in my town goes to church. And that's the way it is in a lot of places because, you know, we still live in a Christian nation. It's not exactly what we'd like it to be, and I know we're not exactly proud of some of the things that our country's become. However, it's still a Christian nation. We're free to meet here tonight. And there's a lot of people who think, man, yeah, I'm part of youth group, so I'm doing good. I'm part of church, I go to Sunday school, I'm faithful to one service, two services a week, whatever the case, so I'm doing good. Let me just talk to you tonight real quick about this, because God, Jesus Christ, He has a lot of fans, but He doesn't need any more fans. Now, in the Bible time, He had fans as well. The Bible says there was a man, we call him the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus, and he said, all of these commandments, all the things you've talked about, man, they're incredible. I've kept them all from my youth. I mean, this was the guy who was in youth group. This was the young man who was faithful. This was the young man who was there. And he was very wealthy. And the Bible says he came to Jesus and he said, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? Just tell me what I have to do. And he said, I've kept all the commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And Jesus said, okay, but there's one thing you're missing. And he said, well, what's that? I want to know. I mean, this guy's thinking, I saw Jesus feed 5,000 at one time. Man, I saw Jesus do some incredible things. He healed a lame man right in front of me. And he's waiting to hear what Jesus says. And Jesus says, I need you to sell everything you have. And I need you to come follow me. The Bible says, and this is the only time you'll find this about someone in Scripture. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. The only one that left the presence of Jesus Christ worse than when he arrived. Everyone else was receiving a miracle. Everyone else was receiving a blessing. Something great was happening. But the Bible says this young man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he was a fan of what Jesus did. But he wasn't a follower. He didn't want to follow. By the way, those 5,000 people, man, they got to eat the fish and the bread, and they got to see Jesus do the miracle. And the Bible says they followed him around the Sea of Galilee. They met up with him, and they asked, basically, they wanted to see him do it again. It was so incredible. And Jesus, at that time, said, well, you need to know who I am. As if the feeding 5,000 people at one time wasn't kind of an indication of who he was. He said, I'm Jesus. I've come to save you from your sin. And the Bible says when he said that, they murmured. Because they were fans of what he did. They just didn't want to follow who he was. There was a man in the Bible that the Apostle Paul knew. His name was Demas. And the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me because he loved this present world. Because he was a fan of what Jesus did. He was a fan of being a Christian. He was a fan of having a youth group to go to. He was a fan of all the activities. He was a fan of everything good that came into his life because of church. But the problem is, he's just like some of you who are sitting here tonight. You guys are fans. Some of you are fans of what Jesus does. But you aren't going to follow him. What is it, 80% of people, of young people like you, who graduate from high school and walk out the back door of your church will completely abandon everything you were raised on. Or everything your Sunday school teacher taught you. Or everything your bus captain taught you. Because you're a fan. You think it's cool for right now. I got to be honest with you. All the youth pastors and the bus drivers in the room, they're not fans. Because they've done this a bunch of times. They've done this over and over and over again. If they were fans, it would have been like, oh, that was cool that one time, but you know, there's a little bit too much trouble for me, so I'm done. But they don't do that. Your leadership in your church, your pastor, he's not a fan, he's a follower. He's someone who's committed.
Right.
And if we're not careful, as Christian young people, we develop the same attitude as fans. Because here's the deal. Fans are crazy. Young people are crazy, man. You're awesome. Fans are insane. They get painted up. I love football. I love basketball. I love football and I love basketball. It's just about it. I don't like soccer. I really don't like baseball. I'm sorry. But I'm sorry. I offended the young lady right over here. She gave me the poochie lip because I did. I apologize. But man, when I watch the sports that I like, man, I'm into it. I'm a Kentucky Wildcats fan. Wildcats fan. I love the Kentucky Wildcats. Why? Because we win. I mean, duh, you know, that kind of thing. Man, I love that stuff. I get into it, man. I will talk trash with you about your team. I will get into it with you, man. I'll have a good time. I'll watch the game. I'll make sure I record the game and watch it after church if it's on a Sunday. That's a good idea. I'll make sure that I'm into this thing. But I got to tell you, I'm not a follower of the sport. So what do you mean? Well, a fan will sit on the couch or sit in the stands and watch the game played. But who are the followers? You see, the follower got up months in a row, woke up the same time every day, worked out, shot 500 free throws, and got ready. So who are the real followers? The players are the real followers. Because they're committed. They're dedicated. They're into this thing. Look at your Bible one more time here. And we'll look at it several times. But I want you to keep this in mind as we look at it. The Bible says here in verse 23. Look in verse 23 with me. It says, "And he said to them all." He tells them all this. He's got a whole group of people, just kind of like we got here tonight. He's got a whole group of people, and he said to them all, "If any man," look at those words, "if any man," say those three words with me, ready? "If any man," say it one more time, here we go, "if any man." Everyone in the room tonight, every young person in the room, every boy, every girl, every young man, every young lady, everyone, you are a candidate to follow Jesus. Anyone can be used by God. And if you're here tonight and you don't believe that, then the devil has lied to you and you've believed it. You've got sucked into his trap. The Bible says, "if any man." That ought to encourage some of you because it's easy to get discouraged and get to a point where we think, oh, God couldn't do that. I am spitting all over you. I apologize. It's easy to get to a point where we just think, I'll spit on the second row. We think, oh, God could never use me. I'm not good enough. I could never do what Brother Donald does. I could never do what Brother Stephen does. I could never do what my youth pastor does. Some of us, we think, oh, well, you know what? I could never be used by God because you don't know what I've done. I've done some bad things. I've done some things that I shouldn't do. And that's your attitude. Some of us, we just make up excuses in our mind. Oh, God could never do this. But the Bible says, if any man, and then it says this, four words, will come after me. Will come after me. Can you say that with me? Ready? Will come after me. Any man, that's the candidate, will come after me, the Bible says, if we will follow him, if we will follow the same steps that he followed, if we will walk in his way, the Bible says that he'll direct our way if we trust in him, if we'll allow him to have reign and rule over our lives, then the Bible says that we can come after him. It's not the easiest thing to do to be a Christian. Have you guys figured that out yet? You guys figured that out? You young people who, it doesn't really matter what kind of school you go to, it's not easy to be a Christian. Sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian in a Christian school. Sometimes it's not easy to be a Christian. It's definitely not easy to be a Christian in a public school sometimes. And it's difficult, but the Bible says that God will allow us and help us to come after him, to follow after him. Hey, young people, God has a calling for your life. God has something he wants you to do, specifically. A will for your life. It's not this cookie cutter thing of, I've got this many people, it's going to do this task, and this many people. We end up doing some of the same things, but never in the same way, because you're unique, you're special, you're important to God. And God wants to use you. And the Bible says, if any man, the candidate, will come after me, if any man will follow me, the Bible says, and will come after me, in other words, that's the commitment, will follow after me. He says this, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. And you've got to follow. That's what you have to do, the Bible says, in order to be a follower of Christ. So the question tonight is this. Are you a fan or a follower? Which one are you? You have to ask yourself the question. You have to determine, are you really, truly following after Christ? Have you decided that you are going to daily, take up your cross and follow Him. Say, what do I have to do in order to be a follower? Let me give you four things. Number one, in order to be a follower, you have to be saved. Here's what that means. Your name has to be on the team roster. By the way, we already said it. Anyone can make this team. That's what's so helpful about it. But if I went to Florida in the spring and I showed up at training camp and I walked in and I said, I'm here to play for the Detroit Lions, or Tigers rather. And they looked at the list. First of all, they'd probably just look at me and be like, look at that guy, he's not here to play. But they'd look at a list and they would say, I'm sorry, Mr. Rush, your name, it's not on here. You know what the danger is of being a fan of Jesus? Is that you really never nail down your eternity with Christ. Because you have slipped right into one of the easiest places to get away with this in. Where you're at right now. Because tonight, you know what we prayed for? We prayed that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that tonight will be the night. We prayed that a young person will come to know Jesus tonight. But you know what? You're in the best spot to get away with just avoiding that altogether. Because if there's a hand-raising time, or if there's an invitation, there will be. If there's a time where we try to maybe give you an opportunity to receive Christ, you could just go, no, I've been going to church for years. My parents are Christians. I'm the pastor's kid. I already made a profession. I said some words one time. Yeah. You'll be a fan. She won't be a follower. You've got to be saved. Number one, you've got to be saved. Number two, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to be set apart. Yeah, right. You've got to be set apart. The word is sanctified in the Bible. Jesus sanctified us. God sanctifies us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we grow in Christ and as we live for God as young people, as Christian young people, as we do that, we are to set ourselves apart from the things of this world in such a way that we say, I am reserving myself. I'm reserving myself for the cause of Christ and Him alone. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. So I'll be the living sacrifice until you read the part about holy, acceptable unto God. God wants you to be holy. You've got to live a clean life. You've got to live... By the way, the problem with this is as teenagers, as young people, what we tend to do is we say, well, I just want to do what makes me happy. I deserve to be happy. I mean, if it doesn't make me happy, then it must not be right. And we think that, okay, if it doesn't feel good, it must not be right. If it doesn't make us, excited about... Let me just be honest with you. You guys think that the youth pastors wake up on Sunday morning and are like, yeah, church! Probably not! Not when they have to look at you! It's true! You guys think that Brother David, your youth group probably thinks that you get awoken in the morning by an angel with angel dust... Who sprinkles... No, don't point at your wife. That's not what I'm talking about. But who sprinkles angel dust on you and you're like, oh, I just can't wait to read my Bible this morning. That's not the way it works. Brother Donald, how hard is it to walk with God as a youth pastor? It's difficult. Oh, but it would make me happier to do this during church. God is more interested in you being holy than being happy. You said, well, I just want... No, it's not about what makes you happy. It's what pleases God. And as we please God with a set-apart life, the Bible tells us God, in our humility, can raise us up and use us for service and use us in a great and a mighty way. Number one, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to be saved. Number two, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you've got to be sanctified. Number three, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you must be surrendered. In the book of one of those books in the Bible, I didn't write it down. I think it's First Chronicles, Second Chronicles. Excuse me. There's an 8-year-old boy by the name of Josiah, and the Bible says Josiah, at the age of 16, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Think about the words of that verse I just quoted. Now, if you weren't listening, listen as I say it again. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. The point is that there was a starting point for when he really got serious about God. Because some of you guys are fine with youth groups and fine with games and fine with activities and fine as long as there's a social reason for you to come to church because I'm going to go see all my homies, man. And I'm going to make sure that I'm there so that it's a lot of fun because, man, this church is great as long as all my friends are there. There has to be a time where you begin to say, I'm sold out. If nobody comes, I'm there. And you ought to sit on the front row and bring your Bible and open your songbook and sing in church. So why is your face getting all red about this? Because it's hot in here. And because, to be quite honest with you, I've seen all our young people. We were praying today for this rally. We spent multiple times in prayer today. And as we're praying, I'm thinking about my young people back home. I'm thinking about our youth group. And I'm thinking, man, let this guy who just got saved get on fire for God. Because there's right now they're just fans. Right now they're just excited about, oh man, everything's fun and everything's activities. But what about when it gets hard? I'm not going to go to church anymore, man. My friends left. Honestly, say that out loud sometime, not right now. And then look up in the heavens and think, I wonder what God thought about that. Because God could have said, well, I'm not going to go die on the cross because everybody's going to hate me. Oh, yeah, it's just not who I am. I love that one. Oh, that's just not me. That's just not me, man. Yeah, you know what? Jesus coming to this earth was not him. That's not what he did. He was a king. He is a king. He rules from on high. And he sacrificed everything for you. He wasn't a fan. He was not a fan. He committed. And he was surrendered. And he said, whatever it takes, I will do. If you're going to be a follower, if you're going to be a follower, you've got to be saved. You've got to be sanctified. You've got to be surrendered. By the way, let me tell you this. And listen, please. Some of you are going to have to give up some needles, some bottles, some razors. Whatever you do to your body, it's not yours. You're bought with a price. You're bought in blood. Someone shed their blood. Stop shedding yours if that's your problem. You're going to have to give up a cell phone or a computer and present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, so you can be surrendered. Number four, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you must be serving. The best youth groups are youth groups that get things done for God. Not youth groups who devour 80 pounds of pizza in one night. I'm talking about you guys. You know you work with youth a lot when you eat a lot of pizza. There was one week about a month ago, my wife and I, in a 7-day period of time, had pizza 9 different meals. That's nasty. And you guys are like, what? That sounds awesome. But you have got to determine if you're going to be a follower. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. Rich young ruler, not a follower. No, not a follower. He said, I have to do what? See ya. I'm out. I'm not all about that life. You know? Hashtag see you later. You know? And the rich young ruler just basically told the world, I'm not a follower, man. I'll support you. You need me to give you a little bit of an offering? That's cool. That's good. You need me to promote you? Cool. But I'm not going to sell everything I have and surrender my life. I'm not going to sell out to God. You're not a follower then. James 2:18 says, show me thy faith without thy works. So you say, oh, I'm a Christian. Huh? I'm a Tigers fan. Man, I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm a good person. When no one's looking, or when everyone else is watching, no one's looking, it's kind of different, you know, that kind of thing. But the Bible says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, a real Christian, if they never said a word, could persuade a lost person that they were a Christian. By how they lived, by what they did. So I thought it wasn't about works. Salvation's not. The rest of your life sure is. It's about what you do. And we don't. And now don't misunderstand me. God wants you to serve because you get blessed through service. I'm not saying that you have to now live and oh, it's all about what I do. I want to make sure you understand that. But show me thy faith by my works. Make sure it's understood by what I do. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with your neighbors opening their blinds on Sunday morning and seeing you get on a church bus at the same time every weekend. There's nothing wrong with the people at the church knowing that you've got the reputation of you're that young man or you're that young woman that I can ask them and they'll do this. We have to have that. We need teenagers like that. It proves that a church is alive. It's thriving. It's going. You have got to make sure you're serving God. Get involved in your church. I can't emphasize this enough. Get there every time the doors are open. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings tonight, but don't take a job where you have to work during a church service. Because we do a lot of things at church. We worship God. We have to. That's part of why we're there. We hear from God. But the reason, people, why do I have to go to church so much? Because you can't serve God and worship God and hear from God in just one service. We might need you during one service, young ladies, to help someone else in the nursery. Young men and young ladies both, you might be able to help on a bus route. Or you might be able to walk in and notice the songbooks are crooked and fix them. You might be that person. But you can't do that if you're just like, oh, I gotta work. Are you really telling me that for $7 an hour, you're going to sacrifice the blessing you could get by doing God's will, by being in His house? Or maybe you got a job and you say, well, I could make more money if I worked on Sundays. So for 25 cents more an hour. Oh yeah, I think that probably impresses God. Not at all. Not at all. If you're a fan, that's great. Fans are the ones. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Look at the cross on my shirt. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I do that. Followers, totally different. God does not need any more fans, because there's a lot of people out there who aren't living for Him that are like, yeah, you Jesus, yes. Woo, boy, that's cool. Look at that. Yeah. But when it's time to set yourself apart, I can't commit. When it's time to surrender and say, God, honestly, anything I have, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the video games or whatever, if you don't like it, God, you can have it. It's all yours. Ooh, wall just went up there. And then, oh man, I need to be in church so that I can serve actively. I can live for God through my service. Let me ask you tonight, think about it. Are you a fan? Or are you a follower? You say, well, how do I become a follower? Every instance in where someone refused to go from fan to follower status, they were lacking one thing. A decision. A decision. Because the rich young ruler could have said, at that moment, he could have said, okay, whatever you say. But he didn't. The 5,000 could have taken a knee and said, we bow before you, King Jesus. But they murmured. Demas could have said, world, God, I'm going to stick with God. But he didn't. There's a man by the name of Paul Morphy. In the late 1800s, he was a champion chess player. Paul Morphy and a friend went to an art gallery. I guess back in the 1800s, that was the cool thing to do. They went to the art gallery and they began to look around, and they're very cultured men. And Mr. Paul Morphy came upon a painting that stopped him in his tracks because he related to the painting. He looked up, and the name of the painting, I want to make sure I get it right, it was called The Chess Players. And on one side was a young man, and he was sitting back and had a look of defeat on his face. On the other side was a picture of someone that was assumed to be Satan, the devil, with a very demonic look on his face, a very satisfied look. In between, on the far side of the table, a young man here, the devil right here, on the far side is an angel. And there was a chessboard between the two men on either side of the table, the devil and the young man. And on that chessboard, even the champion chess player, Paul Morphy, tried to figure out the arrangement of the pieces to where he said, maybe this isn't checkmate, maybe, but it was checkmate. The artist was very smart when he painted this picture. It arrested his attention because he played chess. He wanted to figure this thing out. And to be honest with you, the image and the message that the picture sent was very strong to him. And he began to look, and his friend finally wandered away and said, I'll let you figure this out, Paul. I'm going to go look around. He's looking up at the painting and just in anguish, and an hour went by, maybe more. And all of a sudden, the look on his face changed from, I just don't know, to, there it is. He ran over and got his friend and drug him back to the painting. Everybody in the whole art gallery, not a very loud place, heard him yelling, hey, come here, quick, you've got to see this. And everybody began to gather, and he pointed at it, and he looked at his friend. He said, it's right there. And he said, what's right where? He said, look at the board. It's right here. The man said, I don't understand. And he looked up and began to talk to the players at the young man on the other end of the table. And he looked at it as if the young man was alive and said, hey, young man, you've got one more move. One more. Make that move. And for you young people, this night, though it's a taco meal and some fun songs and good times with friends, and you think this is just kind of a casual evening, maybe with the youth group, I don't know. It could be the last move you've got. Right. Because if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you need to get saved. Because young people die. 13-year-old boy, when I was 18 years old, 13-year-old boy accidentally took his own life with a firearm. Personal friend of my youngest brother. Young people die. We don't know. Maybe you need to set yourself apart and say, there's something I'm involved in that I shouldn't be involved in. Maybe you just need to decide, hey, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to surrender everything I've got. And I'm going to serve Him with my life. I don't know what the case is for you. But I hope you understand it's very possible that you've got one move left. One more opportunity to make any one of those decisions. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon the service.